Well, morning, everyone. Welcome. My name is Chris Kimmons, together with Nick, the pastor's here. Great to see you. This morning's talk is a bit of an odd one, and to be honest, it's really two talks rolled into one. The first bit is barely a talk, other than I'm talking. But it is it's about looking ahead in 2018. There is so much I could say, but I'm feeling such an excitement and an enthusiasm that I felt really I wanted to share it with you. And the excitement and enthusiasm is I am much better at beginnings than I am at endings. I can do endings, but I'm definitely better at beginnings. I feel a sense of anticipation, a good anticipation, quite easily. So we get into the new year of 2018. I'm like, yeah, 2017, so last year. And I am ready. I'm already excited about what difference can be made in people's lives in 2018. So I'm already excited by that. And so I've been trying to work out why I'm excited and asking God a little bit about it. And for me, it is the sense of possibility. That's what I'm excited by. So for all of you here this morning, if there's one take-home message that I want you to get from both parts of this morning's talk, it is possibility. What could happen? What could you make happen? What could happen around you? What could happen because of you? What might happen near you? There are possibilities. There are two aspects to God's will. There is the God's will about which you can do nothing. It will happen. For example, Jesus coming back. You can pray or not pray. It's going to make little odds. He's coming back. One day, he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Apostles' Creed, all that. But there's also the element of God's will that is not automatic. It needs to be prayed into being. It needs to be acted upon to see it happen. So there are so many things coming up this next year that speak of possibility. So one of them actually was XL Mentoring and the fact that a bid has just been put in because we are trying to get to the stage where we can pay a coordinator to oversee a set of mentors who each have a mentee. The slightly sad thing is, I am slightly sad about it. It's a really positive step, but actually a part-time coordinator can oversee only 10 to 15-ish, that's pushing it, mentors. 15. There are about 12,000 young people in Ashford. Even if only one in 12 of them needed a mentor, we need 1,000 mentors. A full-time XL mentoring coordinator can oversee 25 young people. Wouldn't it be amazing if by the end of this year, we had a full-time coordinator in post, and we had another full-time coordinator. Wouldn't it be amazing if by the end of the year, we'd started something that was overseeing 100 mentors, 100 children were being mentored. Why not? Why should that not happen? There are more than 100 people in this room. Just 100. Wouldn't it be amazing if every secondary school in Ashford had their own full-time coordinator who's coordinating trained mentor volunteers who are coming in and says, oh, we just want to work with the kids. Wouldn't that be amazing? There's one thing stopping us, money. That's the main thing that's stopping us. But that's okay, because God has resources, and so we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I was thinking about next year, and I happened to pop to the loo, and I looked at this picture again. Now, there's some wonderful artwork down that corridor. So I'll just, for the benefit of the podcast, I am showing the Exhibit A. And it says this. It's from the Chronicles of Narnia. It says, Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Of course, Aslan, Jesus, okay? Ooh, said Susan. I'd thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Oh, that is what we want this next year to be. We don't want a safe year. Let's skid off the road in a Ferrari rather than go through 2018 in a milk float, shall we? Wouldn't that be amazing? If you skid off the road, well, that's what we have tow trucks for. We'll come and pull you out of a ditch and we'll all laugh about it one day. How exciting. I gather I read in the paper there's a new mains transformer thing that's coming along from the docks. And it's coming all the way up the M20, off at junction 9, back on, and then it's coming off at junction 10. It's travelling at 12 miles an hour. I can't think of a more dull job. It's going to take them hours to get from Dover up to Ashford and back round at 12 miles an hour. Yes, but at least it's safe. Okay, in that particular instance, I would rather they were safe, I grant you. I don't suppose it's plugged in, but even so. This is another project that we are working on. There are loads that are going on, but a grant has gone in for this one as well. As many of you will know, we run Storehouse, and the aim of the Storehouse really is to provide clothes predominantly and some baby accoutrements, stuff, gear, that is needed to be able to bring kids up. And the Storehouse at the moment sees about 6 families per week. So a bid has gone in, and the aim is to reach at least 25 families per week. At least 25 families per week is the aim. Wouldn't it be brilliant if every family in the Ashford borough who was at the point of needing clothes for their young people, for their babies and children, never had to be without? Wouldn't that be amazing if the first words on people's lips were, you need to get down to the Storehouse. Oh, where's that? Oh, it's down at some warehouse thing. Near the tip, as we tell everyone. It's near the tip. You know where the tip is, yeah? Just along by the tip. Yes, past the tip. Yeah, just past the tip. That would be amazing. Come on. This is the 21st century. It's 2018. We must be able to deal with the shortage of clothes. This isn't rocket science. This is such basic, simple stuff. But actually, what we need is, again, to be paying someone who can be on the ground, who can be working. We're not looking for a full-time post at the moment, but we want that person to be able to go around and visit the flows, the family liaison officers at schools, to visit GPs and social workers, mother and baby groups, and say, we're here. This is what we offer. Don't go without. If you know anyone who's struggling, point them our way. We want to be able to help. And then this, later in the year, there's the possibility of a youth club. Now, even just those two words together make me think of scratched and beaten up old pool tables, where when you pot a ball in the pocket, it immediately drops on the floor. And weak squash. But this won't be like that. This is not the plan. It might not even be held here. But the aim of this is to bring out the best and help realise the potential in young people, funnily enough, just like Excel Mentoring. So youth who come, of the 12,000 eligibles, the youth that will come, they'll find a safe place where they're valued and believed in. A place where they can play, yes. But also, the aim of this youth club is a place where they can come and begin to realise more of their potential. So when they come for an hour and a half, 2 hours, one evening, they might have just half hour play at the beginning, whatever you want to call play, you know, some PlayStation stuff and whatever else going on. But actually, there is a vision and a heart and a dream that starts to do things like you get someone in to train them and equip them with the skills, how to make a decent blog or vlog using just their phones. Everyone who come, almost undoubtedly, will have a phone. They've got the ability to learn how to communicate well in the 21st century. So they get trained. They get help with that. Radio and DJ skills. We need decent DJs. Beauty skills. I've put my hand up for that one. To teach, obviously. My complicated regimen I go through every morning. Cooking. basic cooking skills, knowing what foods go well together, makes a balanced diet, some gardening skills, sports skills. How about basic web design? Do you know, I've already had an offer from a local-ish company when I started telling them about this, because they said, oh, we supplied your cooker upstairs. I said, oh, I didn't know that was you. Long story, they do it through someone else. I didn't know that was you. And they said, what else have you got planned? We like you. We want to link up with you more often. So I said, oh, well, funnily enough, I've only just come out of a meeting where we've been talking about this sort of youth club thing, and we planned on that. And I said, oh, we'd love to see this happen, and this happen, and this happen. And she said, okay, any of that web design? We've got a whole team here. The team would love a day out. They'll come down. They'll come and support it. Isn't that amazing? They're like, we just want to come and help. We want to raise the aspirations of young people too. Sure, of course, it looks good for them. But equally, they're interested and they want to come and help out. How about helping them to get a short story published? Recording a song in a pop-up music studio? They take trips away. How about we teach them entrepreneurial skills? How to start their own business? How to create something out of nothing? Ashford needs things created out of nothing. It really, really does. Community-focused projects. This can all happen. So the aims, the three main aims, are to reduce isolation, to increase confidence and self-esteem, and increase engagement with the local community. Now, James and Sarah are the brains and the hearts behind this project, James and Sarah Whiteley. I haven't told them this bit, but if within 18 months we are not having to open on another night, I'll be gutted. Because you can probably realistically manage about 100 kids. There are 12,000 in Ashford. Let us never get to the stage where we celebrate 100. It's great to celebrate 100, but not celebrate 100, tick, job done. 100's amazing. Well, where's the next 100? And what about the 100 after that? We might end up having a space where we have a kind of youth club that runs pretty much every night that includes homework support and Excel mentoring as part of it. I know. See, I'm excited. You can tell, right? Oh, right. Okay. And while that group is meeting, some people may say, particularly if you haven't been around here that much, you may say, well, that youth club, Chris, you haven't mentioned Jesus once yet. Oh, my goodness. God is in everything. God's ambition, his dream, his hope is that all those kids lead a fullness of life. Absolutely. And of course, you'll have so many volunteers who choose to go in and they carry the Holy Spirit with them and they're living all the time around them and they're influencing them all the time and they're correcting lies that have been spoken over those young people. Where any of those young people say, oh, I'm just an idiot, don't ever say that about yourself. That is not the truth about you. The truth about you is you are absolutely loved. You are incredibly special. You have a unique set of skills. You have been designed. You have been fashioned. Do you know? You know I believe in that there's a God, right? A Father God who loves us. Do you know what? I totally believe he saw you before time even began. The Bible says he knitted you together in your mother's womb. I know it's weird, right? Knitting. I know it's weird. Isn't it odd? But he saw you. His thoughts of you outnumber the grains of sand. Don't ever say you're rubbish again. At least not around me. Are we agreed on that? Fist bump. See how down with the kids I am? See? Charlotte Rawling. She has plans to work with children on the subject of resilience. And we've already got ways into many schools, and she wants to be able to get in and do something with that. 1,000 hours. We have now almost every Ashford school looking to work with us, and we have other churches from outside of the area who've heard about the project and got in touch and said, will you help us? We want to do this thing. Will you help us? We've got two churches that have spoken to us and are interested. Ashford Sings is growing, and it's going on tour again. Did you know that 89% of people who have an interaction with Asher Vineyard claims it is beneficial to their mental well-being? Nick and I are in the 11%, obviously. No, kidding, it's a joke. I don't, yes, it's good, but to be honest, that's a God thing going on. That's a Holy Spirit thing going on. We just don't always recognize it, that's all. There are people who come in and speak of what they feel when they walk in this place. That's got to be a God thing. I mean, we make it look as best we can and we fashion pallets and put lights up and there's some carpet that's a bit tatty in places. It's well used. It's well loved, indeed. And then there's worship, welcome, Sundays, plugged in, alpha, circles, marriages. Marriages, that's one of our targets this year. We're going after marriages. We're wanting to do 24 hours of marriage where we take people away for 24 hours to a hotel and they have the chance to invest in their marriage. And we talk about how to communicate, how to argue and disagree well, how to go after the same things and things like that. So that is coming up a little bit later on this year. We've got one more exciting project which I want to talk to you about, but you'll have to wait because I'm coming back to it. Because this is what we're talking about on Sundays, prayer. There is so much that can be covered in this. And prayer is a very, for anyone who claims to be following Jesus, it's a very emotive subject. It's very guilt-ridden for many people. Who's ever felt guilt about prayer? Okay, some of you, rest of you are liars. We pray off that spirit of deception. No, I'm kidding. When it says, the Bible says, pray without ceasing, and you say to someone, do you pray enough? Well, there's a guilt-laden question straight away. I never ask anyone that question. Do you pray enough? Yep. No one can really, really say that. It's such a difficult subject. So I'm going to cover one core thing about it and two warnings, and then I'm going to tell you about this exciting project. So this is the foundation. This is the anchor. We feel, Nick and I feel, that God has clearly spoken to us about covering this subject of prayer. To be honest, we had something else that we wanted to do. And part of the reason we wanted to do it is because we thought it'd be a bit easier. Because this is really hard. And if you just want to pick up a manual on prayer, then you're already probably missing the point. In fact, I bought 3 books on prayer 2 years ago. I haven't read them yet, which is okay, because they were there, you know, they were banked up. When it came to do this, I cannot find those books anywhere. I can't find them. I did pray about it. And do you know what I felt God say to me? I felt God say, start with Jesus. Start with Jesus. If you're not careful, you can try to make something that is so relationally based, you can start to make it formulaic. We should be wary of any textbooks on prayer. It's very, very hard to pin down. But nevertheless, what this really has come from is Nick and I have a total conviction that our town will be transformed when we learn to pray. When we learn to pray in a way, because we do need to learn. I thought you just said we don't need textbooks. Oh, God, please save us from textbooks. But we do still need to learn. You can learn outside of textbooks, right? Okay, that's good. All the teachers are like, well, I'm not sure about that. Can we? Of course we do. Education is what we're left with at the end of our schooling when everything we've been taught has been forgotten. Someone said that to me once. So when we learn to pray based on, with a confidence and based on a right theology, honestly, we will see Ashford transformed. I honestly believe that. There is the balance, and this is all to come. I can't say too much because it'll just get into it. Do you just pray? Do you just act? Of course you don't. Of course it needs both. You can't have faith without deeds. If you really, really are convicted and convinced that you are following Jesus, your actions, of course, will follow. I'm totally convicted and convinced that I love Nick. My actions follow that, I hope, for the most part. Speak to her afterwards. But our aim here is to shape the city, not build the church. I personally, I would love to see a move of God. I would love to see something that is beyond what we're currently seeing. I have known of people who've been in revivals where God breaks out. But actually, we want to even go beyond revival, because revival is just like really putting a pan on the stove and things just start to just warm up a little bit. Oh, there is life. So you get kind of a bit of renewal, bit of revival, bit of reformation. And really, where we're heading, we want restoration. We want God's plan A for Ashford. Nothing missing, nothing broken. God's original design that has been stolen through years of death and decay. That's what we want, isn't it, in people's lives? We want God's plan A. So this is going to happen, and some of it, this is going to happen through some of it being our efforts, if you like, our physical stuff we can do. Someone is lonely, we can go and sit with them. It's a physical thing I've done. Anyone can do that. Whether they're following Jesus, not following Jesus, irrelevant. So people who even aren't following Jesus, of course they have the capacity to bring about some aspects of God's plan A in people's lives. God's plan A isn't that that person is hungry. Well, anyone can go and give someone else some food, it stops them being hungry. Okay, you can go home and think about that one. That's absolutely fine. But we have the creator of the universe living on the inside of us if we have said yes to Jesus and asked him. And by his Holy Spirit, he comes and lives in us where nothing is impossible. That's what we sung about. Nothing is impossible. He is unsafe. I never said anything about safe. He is desperate to break out and do some crazy stuff. That's what God is desperate to do. To break out and see lives radically transformed. So you take the feeding of the 5,000, right? Jesus saw these people. It was 5,000 just men, let alone women and children, but we'll stick with 5,000 for now. It's still impressive. And what you have is there was the possibility. What the disciples did was they said, well, hang on a minute, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. How on earth are we ever supposed to feed them? So they looked with physical eyes, and they were absolutely right to some extent to do that. There's the need. We want to be able to meet the need. What have we got? We've got that. That's good. That's a start. But we want that next bit. I want that next bit. I want that bit that says, well, this is what I've got, God. We need some multiplication. We need something supernatural over this. We need something supernatural, something that isn't natural. It's supernatural. Something of God that is beyond what we can do in the natural. I don't want to visit that person and stop them being lonely. I want to somehow break something of loneliness in them that it doesn't keep happening. I want to see that happen. That bit is much more complicated, but not for God. Piece of cake. Do you see there's physical elements, but we want to, if you like, break into, release more and more and more of this supernatural element. So this whole subject of prayer is about seeing Ashford shaped. We want to shape our city, not build the church. But there are two warnings about this subject of prayer, and they are this. Prayer is never professional. One of the things that makes me most sad about prayer is people say, I'm not very good at it. Or I never pray out loud. Or she's the one who does the praying. If you need someone to pray, you need to ask them. Oh, I can never come up with the right words. I hear this frequently, almost, I would say, constantly. Prayer is not a professional job. It is the language of relationship. If you've got relationship, then you will pray. And praying is simply relationship with God, and you communicate. So in the same way I communicate with Nick, on a physical, obviously on a physical earthly level, we communicate. It's the language of relationship. And then all I do is, if I'm speaking to God, that now gets labeled something called praying. But it's the same principle. It's the language of relationship. That's what praying is. It's not even in my notes, but it's really good. That's why I keep saying it. It's the language of relationship. Write that down. It's revelation to me. Thank you, God. I love that. That's not what I'd written. It's way better. Second warning is this. If we ever make prayer something other than about relationship, absolutely anchored in a relationship with God, then we are on a very dangerous, slippery slope to missing what's at the heart of it. So it seems a little bit negative, really, to start with two warnings, if you like, but these need to be our sort of guiding parameters around the outside. Of course, there are people, item one, prayer is never professional. Of course, there are people who have gained more experience at learning how to communicate. We've just said we want to help support marriages, take people away for the weekend or for 24 hours and work on the marriage. And a lot of that is about communication. So there are skills you can learn. But you know what? God loves to hear a baby's cry as much as he does your string of eloquent words that you've got because you went to Oxford University. It makes no odds to him. He's just interested in the heart. And that baby's cry comes from the heart. That's what he's interested in. That's his main thing. So fundamentally, prayer, when it's all boiled down, prayer is the language of relationship. That's it. Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it professional. Don't leave it to other people. If I said, well, I'm not really very good at communicating with Nick, I'm just going to leave it to other people, that would be really weird, right? But how many of us do that when it comes to God? I'm just not really very good at this. We've said here before, God is truly worshipped when he is enjoyed. He is truly worshipped when he's enjoyed. That's what he wants. And then we have this one anchoring truth, I've called it. As we go into this subject of prayer, we have covered this subject before, so we haven't really got time to cover it again, other than I'm going to spend 3 or 4 minutes now. But this has to become the starting point for any subject on prayer. It has to be understood that God is good. If we are going to start praying for transformation, if we're going to start praying for change in this locality, if we want to see Ashford transformed, it has to be based on the understanding that he is good. And we talked about this at length before. If we deviate from this at all and start to believe what we see or what other people have told us, then we have no option but to see God as fickle. And he isn't. So let me just explain. We have our relationship with God. It has to be based on an understanding truly of who he is. If we misjudge who God is, we misrepresent him to the town. If we misjudge who God is, we misrepresent him to the town and to everyone else we meet. And there is one thing that is fundamentally, utterly, anchoringly true about God. He is good. And it is that truth that needs to be at the bottom, like an anchor, pinning us, holding us into one place, and the boat will move around and whatever, but it's not going too far from that truth. He is good. So when we understand he's good, and he invites us to taste and see that he is good, you end up with a whole bunch of questions, and some of these we covered before, so really haven't got time to go through it in great detail, but we covered some of these before. If God is good, then why is there suffering in the world? Because, I mean, if he's God, he can do something about that, right? It's a very common question, and it's one that I too have wrestled with. Well, my aunt prayed. She still died. She'd been going to church her whole life. She still died. What about the book of Job? hang on a minute, doesn't suffering do a job in us to make us more like Jesus? So, I mean, God kind of, he doesn't want us to suffer, but it's kind of quite useful for him when he does because it fashions something a bit different in us, cuts some of the whinging down. Some of the entitlement just gets, you know, chopped back a little bit. What about the aborted babies? The children who are attacked or forgotten in foreign orphanages? I mean, if God really is God, he can do something about this stuff, right? Now, I can't possibly answer every single one of those questions. Some of them are filed for me under don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I do know that there's a whole bunch of stuff happening in this world that is never God's plan. I know that. And I often use this example of us being told to raise the dead and heal the sick. So that means there are people getting sick and people dying. That was never God's plan. I cannot see anywhere in the Bible at all that the inability to have children is a plan of God. Can't see that anywhere. Nowhere. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. It's not what God wants for people. So sometimes you get into these personal situations. My aunt prayed and still died. Do you know what? I'm really sorry. I don't know the answer. I haven't got some answer. Sometimes the answer we have to these questions about your metaphorical aunt, sometimes the question is, I don't know the answer, but actually what you probably need is God's presence more than you need an answer. Because you're probably trying to understand some things that are just a bit beyond us. And if we start to question God's goodness, we will never understand what he's like. It's fine to ask God questions while knowing he is good. But if we start to question his goodness, we start to come unstuck. So those specific incidents, your aunt, your mum, your brother, why did my brother have to die when he was so young? I'm really sorry, I don't know the answer. But wouldn't it be amazing if we made it that your brother was the last person who ever had to die young in Ashford? That we somehow found a way that around these problems, these realities and these entities that surround some of the problems that we haven't yet learned how to dismantle, we start to learn how to dismantle them. There is not a single cancer that God shrugs his shoulders at and says, ooh, that is a toughie. There wasn't a single sick person who came to Jesus who left sick. Not even, there wasn't anywhere recorded that person who came and God and Jesus said to them, no, Father wants you sick. It's making you humble. It's because it doesn't exist. It's a lie. It's not his plan. It's not his will. It's not his desire. Ever. And it leaves bits of the Bible where you go, I don't get that. But we have to keep believing in God's goodness despite what we may see. Because what you're seeing is not what God wants to be happening. So let's not keep blaming him. I know it's hard. I'm really sorry. And for any of you going through something at the moment, I'm really sorry if you are in the process of pinning some of the blame on God. I'm really, really sorry. Genuinely, my heart goes out to you. I haven't got answers. But I promise you one thing. It's not his fault. It really isn't God's fault. It's not his plan. It's not his plan. This becomes our anchoring point. God is good. Every person I meet who's got anything missing, anything broken in their life, that's not God's plan for them. And as we set about studying, looking at, exploring really is the best word, prayer, how do we use prayer? Uncomfortable language, it's so tricky. It's like someone saying, can you please do a talk on beauty? Like, wow, how do you explain beauty? You can't. And in the same way, how do you explain prayer? Like, don't know how you do it. You just find the best words that kind of roughly, approximately fit. But as we seek the transformation of Ashford and we get involved and stuck in prayer to see that happen, it has to be anchored in this truth. He is totally, totally good. He is a good, good father. That's who he is. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. I pray that that would sum up each of our relationship with him. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. I'm loved by him. That's who I am. That truth alone is enough to set the town free. Now, I said I would come back to another project, and it's this. The prayer palette. Now, this may sound a bit weird. I've had a picture, when I say a vision, I don't mean like an open vision. I don't mean like I literally saw it. I mean a vision. A vision is a picture of your preferred future. So I've got a vision. I've got this picture in my head of something I see happening. And it involves prayer at Asher Vineyard. So I'm about to read this out to you. And it's this. This is what I see. I see a palette. Might not actually literally be a palette, but let's go with, like, you know what a palette is, right? I see a palette covered in cards, plain white ones as it happens. And I see people gathered round, praying over them, laying hands on the cards. I also see people picking some of them up and praying specifically for what it says on them. The pile of prayer cards is pretty large, and the palette is covered in thousands of them. The people in the room are a team and have committed to coming and praying for the issues on the cards. I can see a beam of light. I'm picturing this in room three, by the way. I see a beam of light illuminating the cards and a ladder, this isn't literal, and a ladder going from the cards on the palette up through the roof and into heaven. The palette represents a gateway place that was prophesied over this church. The cards are from all sorts of people. They're from local businesses, schools, hospitals, doctor surgeries, uniform groups, care homes, even the local council. Each member of the team has a caseload that they are praying for. They have regular, maybe monthly, communication with a contact person at each place, and they have a card that they fill in when they go to see them. The card records what the organization wants prayer for. And it also has an email, phone, website for people to record any further requests. The card has a tear-off section that gets left with the organisation. And I can see a lady walking away with it, looking at it, and pinning it to the notice board in the office. There's the promise of a return visit the next month where one of the prayer palette team will ask specifically after the issues that have been prayed for. We prayed for this for you last month. We prayed for that for you last month. How are those two things going? Because we're expecting change. I also see a helpline that people can call to ask for prayer, either on the phone or otherwise. I see people carrying prayer palette cards with them, and when they meet someone, they offer to pray there and then maybe, but they also invite them to complete a prayer palette card that gets taken back to PPHQ, to prayer palette headquarters, and added to the pile. People can text in prayer requests too, maybe, and they even get a call from the team to see how things are going. Some issues will get internally referred if they need, say, food, clothing, mentoring, or otherwise. Likewise, each person referred to Asher Vineyard through AV Compassion, also gets a card completed, which comes onto the palette. I also see Prayer Palette Live. They're sessions where people can come in and receive prayer for healing, a bit like a doctor's surgery. They come, read a NAF magazine, and wait, and they come in and get prayer for various ailments and issues. For all these, results are celebrated, and there's a book, talked a bit about this last week, a book that records where situations have changed and lives have changed. Stuck issues, maybe, for individuals, get referred on to SOZO or otherwise. And the prayer tree becomes part of prayer palette where urgent issues are emailed out to a team of dedicated prayers. The prayer palette vision sees the supernatural love and power of God released over the whole town. Situations that were once stuck are now unstuck. Bondages given way to freedom, depression to joy, and despair has given way to hope. Through the prayer palette, I see childless couples with a pregnant bump. I see people broken free from addictions. The power of God turning up at AV, yes, but also on the streets. God is able. That's what I see. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to meet briefly, 12 until 12:30, for anyone who thinks they might be interested. We can't possibly do all that, and I'm working on, okay, this is like a six-month first-year plan. This will be a two-year plan. We can't possibly do all that first. Where we're going to start is we're going to start with schools and businesses. And we need people who are prepared to have a caseload, can't think of a better word at the moment, of 5-10 businesses who they go into, they recruit, they go into once a month and say, here's an explanation leaflet, but basically we're from this local church, we do this, might sound a bit weird to you, but we love to pray for local businesses. Is there anything we can pray for? Now I reckon about half of them will say no straight away. But I also know that in total in the Asher Borough, there are around 6,000 businesses. So even if 2/3 of them say no, that means we're praying for 2,000 businesses in Ashford. We've got a link into many, many schools. And we can go into those schools, meet with whoever the contact person is, and you go in each month. And there's only two spaces on that card. We're going to pray for two things for you. So don't give us a big, long list, because this is focused, and we're expecting answers. So the next time you go in and see that person, you get the card back off the pallet, whatever. You pick the card back up. That's my caseload. Da-na-na. Made any notes on the back, something you might feel God has been saying. You go back in, you see the school, hey. After a while, what we would love is that this meeting doesn't happen at the front desk, but actually you get invited into the office. Not the office, like not the front office. No one gets invited in there. I've been in schools long enough. But especially not into the bursar's office. That's a whole nother level. But you might get invited into the deputy head's office. He says, actually, do you know what? Yeah, come on through. And you know you're making breakthrough when you're offered a cup of tea. And you know that that relationship is just starting to form. And wouldn't it be amazing if when stuff starts to happen in that school where they need some support and they need some help, that they think, do you know what? They pick up that card, they look at it. Yeah, I'm gonna text my contact person. And just say, actually, we've got a situation kicked off here. Can you please pray? This is what we're dreaming of. This is what I would love to see happen. Let's imagine, right, that even only half those prayers we saw answers to them. Because God isn't up there going, tick, no, not that one, cross. Yes, that's not how it works. But imagine if only half those prayers got answered. So in every school in Ashford, I don't know how many there are, the people here will probably know, but however many schools there are in Ashford, you're praying two things for every single school. Imagine if only one got answered for every school, that you saw an answer within the month, you saw the answer. That would be amazing, because that is impacting so many children's lives. Incredible. And it's not even hard to do. You haven't even got to do any weird praying with them or anything. You haven't even got to adopt a prayer voice. You just talk. Say, fill the card in. What two things can I pray for you? You go back the next month and you say, so we've been praying for this, we've been praying for this. How are you getting on with that one? I was praying for sickness of the staff. We've been praying for the sickness of the staff. How is everyone doing? Actually, do you know what? They're a lot better, but we have had two come down with such and such. Okay. Yeah, let's keep that on there. We'll keep that one. Okay. And this one. You were praying, you had some interviews coming up for new staff. Have you managed to find it? Yeah, we've got some people we're really happy with. And brilliant, tick, that one's done. Right, card for this next month. You've got two gaps. What can we pray for you for this month? And we're going to keep praying for that other thing. Because we pray expecting God to change the situation. We don't pray and give ourselves a pat on the back that we prayed about something, but we're praying to see something change. So we go back in and say, we are expecting this to change. This is exciting. This is me speaking now. This is exciting, right? We could do this for, imagine if we went into the hospitals. What can we pray for you? Every GP surgery. We could pray for our MP. Yes, because he needs it. He needs it. Of course he needs it. So this is the meeting about the prayer palette. I can get more excited than this and probably will, but it's in 2 Sundays' time at midday. Honestly, I would love it if we had 25 people. And it might be some of you say, well, actually, do you know what? I can probably only take on about 3 businesses and I'm going to pop out in my lunchtime. That's brilliant. That's 3 businesses that we didn't have covered. Someone else might say, well, do you know what? I'm retired. I'm happy to take on 15. And I do 5 on that day, 5 on that day, 5 on that day. You might have some people who say, well, actually, I would rather just, I'm happy to come in, because every day, at some point, people are going to go into that room and they're going to lay hands on the card and keep covering those cards in prayers. And keep seeing that open heaven with the ladder going up into heaven, which is what has been prophesied, spoken by God over this place. That he says, I'm making you into a gateway place into other realms. So God says, basically, I've got a ladder with angels ascending and descending. I know it's weird, just bear with. Ascending and descending, because I'm waiting to give you answers. Are you willing to go and get the cards filled in? I think it's really exciting and we've run out of time. So let's stand and pray. Technically, this has been the worst talk ever, but it doesn't matter, because I rather hoped you'd catch something rather than the quality of my teaching was outstanding. So let's pray. Father, we are excited about what you have called us as Asher Vineyard to do. We're not trying to grow Asher Vineyard, we're trying to shape the city and change people's lives. We long for people to be introduced to you. We cry out, say, please, God, will you help? Will you warm people's hearts? Will you remove the veil that is over people's eyes? We want people to say yes to you because we believe that's the way ultimately they can live a full life. Will you help us, God, to not treat you as safe, but you're a risky God? Will you help us to be anchored in the truth that you are good and that never changes even when we don't understand it? And we pray for all these volunteers who may volunteer for XL mentoring or may end up wanting to help with the youth club or something. And these people who want to go after this prayer palette thing, that they see it. They see it as a way of helping to bring transformation to lives in Ashford. Something about it sees a different level of the supernatural released. That's what we long for, God. We still want that moment where a train carriage door opens in Ashford and everyone on that train carriage is healed. We want these types of crazy things, God. We love you. We thank you that you are our good, good Father and we are loved by you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today and we hope you enjoyed it. For more information, visit ashfordvineyard.org or maybe drop into something if you're nearby. In the meantime, have a great week and know just how loved you are.